I'm joined by producer and director Rebecca Longworth, founder of the Idiot String Theater Company. And can you start by telling me a little bit about the background of yourself and Idiot String?
Sure. Well, I'm a stage director, and it was directing in traditional theater for quite a while, and have done some producing on and off, and met a few collaborators a couple of years ago and decided that we really wanted to produce some of our own work and produce some adaptations. So we started by adapting some Rudyard Kipling stories called the Just So stories. We did that for the San Francisco Fringe in 2013. And from there, we decided that we wanted to take that show on the road and actually built a mobile stage. Our co-founder, Joan Howard, designed and built a mobile stage that looks like a circus wagon and unfolds to be a portable stage filled with like trapdoors and pulleys and fun stuff like that, theatrical magic. And we toured the Bay every summer for about 5 years and are still doing that. So since 2014, we've been doing shows in the summer that are really like fun, delightful, theatrical. They tend to be family friendly. They're presented for free. And in 2017, we added a second show to Idiot String's yearly repertoire, which was also a traveling show, also involved the mobile stage, but was a little bit more serious, but also had humor in it. That was called Elixir of Life, and that was an original play that we did in 2017. And so now that we also do original plays as well as adaptations, our latest is a premiere called Port Stories, which is a site-specific work going up in Port Costa in June, and we are creating it entirely from scratch and devising it with the ensemble of actors and a small cohort of writing collaborators as well.
Excellent. So Port Stories is going to premiere in June, and
yes.
Can you tell us what you mean by site-specific?
Yeah, so we were invited a couple years ago to be the theater company in residence in Port Costa, California, which residency can mean different things in different places. And Port Costa is a really small town. There's about 200 residents. It's right on the Carquinez Strait. And it's an unincorporated town, but they have a beautiful school building that is no longer used as a school, that is being preserved by local towns, a group of townspeople there as a community space. And they were really looking for a way to activate the space more frequently and thought that our company would be a good match for doing some programming there in the school. And there is an auditorium in the school. It's a little in an unfinished state right now, but the type of theater that we do in terms of like we tend to go outside and we perform in parks and that sort of thing, it was a completely natural thing for us to not worry about the auditorium and instead stage the show in different rooms in the school building. So we are site-specific to the school building for the first half of the play, and different scenes occur in different classrooms and rooms in the building. And then the second half of the play, the audience actually walks with us just up the road to downtown Port Costa, and different scenes take place in outdoor spaces in the downtown and also a few indoor spaces as well. So each scene is designed to be performed at a specific location rather than in a theater.
Great. And what do you think the value is of performing in specific locations and moving throughout the town rather than staying in a fixed location?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a way of really both activating the spaces and activating the imaginative potential of kind of the world around, in a sense. And also, those spaces then become our set and our stage. So rather than building a set, we're sort of framing the different spaces that we're using. So asking the audience to stand in one spot and having the actors in another using the backdrop of the town itself or the specific room that we're in as the scenery. And then we do add touches like certain set decorations and props and that sort of thing. But in a sense, it's like using the real world to sort of overlay a fictional world on top of it. And it can be really exciting for the audience to experience these places in a new way, and exciting for the actors and the audience to really be essentially immersing themselves in the world of the play because it surrounds you completely. Immersive theater is also a genre that's happening right now, and I don't know that I would call this play immersive so much as interactive, but it definitely has that sense of being enveloped by the entire world of the play and the story itself.
Interesting. Being out in the world while you're doing a performance, does that ever cause you to need to improvise with?
Oh, yes.
Can you tell us about
that? Definitely. Well, in one sense, there's a lot of improvising to do in terms of being flexible to even just the weather, whether it's windy, cold. Port Costa is a great destination for motorcyclists, which can sometimes be kind of loud when you're in the middle of a scene. So sometimes there's, pausing for that or incorporating it. And then the style of theater that we're doing is very interactive with the audience. So they're not just watching the scene. They're also often interacted with improvisation. So we might ask them questions. We might engage them in conversation or, ask them to do something, even like write a letter or read something. So the audience and actors really do genuinely interact, and that requires a lot of improvisation on the part of the actors. And often knowing, just knowing their characters really well and knowing the story well and being able to fit that into an authentic and spontaneous interaction with somebody.
And how would you describe the story and the characters in Port Stories? Are there specific characters that are traveling to these different locations, or are they kind of mini stories at each spot?
Yeah, in fact, I would say the overall structure of this particular play is that there's kind of an overarching story and about six or seven stories within that. So each character has their own story and their own trajectory. And what's happened in the fictional world of the play is there's been an earthquake and there's a bit of magic involved. And in this earthquake, the fissures in time have opened up a little bit, and people from different times have been able to slip through cracks in time and appear in town all at the same time. So they're all either people that fictionally live in Port Costa or are passing through for some reason or another. So in our play, they either might live in a certain building or have just gotten off the train and are having a drink at the bar or something like that. So they're essentially using the town in the same way that real people do right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Story-wise, each character has a story to tell, and those stories are originally inspired by and based on the history of not only Port Costa, but generally migration and immigration in and around California. So we've been inspired by that to create these different characters, and the characters themselves essentially need to tell their stories in order to set the world right. So the audience is engaged in a project of listening to the stories and honoring those stories and finding out more about the people that live them and becoming curious about the people that they meet in the course of the play.
Would you say the audience members are responsible for probing to get a character to tell more of their story?
I would say that in some sense they are, but our characters also aren't terribly reticent about it. So I know in some game style immersive productions, the audience is really tasked with, you know, asking certain questions and finding out certain information. And our characters are usually ready to tell it. So there's not too much probing that has to be done, but they do, they share, and there might be a few questions that audience would get curious about, and the actors would absolutely engage with those questions. Yeah.
Great. And are the actors in the play part of Idiot String Theater Company, or did they try out from the community? How did the troupe kind of come together for this production?
Yeah, the troupe came together through a combination of collaborators that Joan Howard, our co-founder and design lead, who's also a performer in the show, she and I have worked with a number of the actors previously, and others we invited through more of an interview process than an audition process, but are all folks whose work we're familiar with by being in the theater community and seeing their work on stage. This is the sort of show that it's hard to have a straight up audition for, because we're creating the script with the actors, so sort of more important to be familiar with their work and then have a mutual understanding of and interest in developing work together and devising and collaborating. Since also when they were hired, there was no script for them to audition with, so that we all created it together.
What do you think is in the future after Port Stories for Idiot String? Are you working on other pieces at this time?
That's a great question. We're not actively working on any new pieces at this time, but the Samuel Peach's Peripatetic Players, which is the specific group that has done shows in parks each summer, they're going to do a show in August, and that's going to be also an adaptation of stories from probably some children's literature. And then beyond that, we're going to be doing some more work in Port Costa, which may turn into another site-specific play, or may turn into other types of performance events. So we're leaving it open to see what our explorations in Port Costa will come to.
Excellent. And do you mind talking more about your personal background in theater? Was that a lifelong pursuit?
Well, it was a lifelong pursuit, but I didn't really identify it as a career path until after leaving college. I thought I was going to be a lawyer or something like that. And then I decided I wasn't really as interested in the law as I thought I might be. And I did a year's master's program in London at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts, which really kind of solidified it for me. And at the time was living in New York, and went back to New York and got involved in the theater scene there. And then actually fell in love with someone in San Francisco, so moved to San Francisco and continued my theater career here in the Bay Area. I'm now based in Oakland, but I find that the Bay Area in general has a really welcoming, vibrant, and really creative theater community where one can not only do something like direct and produce, but also be writing and devising and teaching, which is another love that I have. I do a lot of teaching theater and playwriting to kids, a lot of junior high, some high school, and some elementary. And I adore that. And that was something that I wasn't finding in New York, but the possibilities in the Bay Area really opened up quite a lot of different avenues of being creative. And I really enjoy that. And that's been a long time now. I've been in the Bay about 14 years, so it's been a while.
I'm curious because I've talked to someone else recently who came to theater after exploring law as a career. Are there any specific connections that you find between the two pursuits? Did they inform each other in your life?
Yeah, well, I would say that a lot of people assume that a sort of, you know, performance type of focus connects them. And I think it probably does, especially for people who are more focused on either trial law or performing. And since I'm more of a director and and dramaturg and writer, I think for me, it's a lot about the analysis of the text. You know, you really have to read text very closely in law and also in theater. One of my great loves in the theater is Shakespeare. And of course, that's a lot of analyzing text and figuring out what the story and the characters and even the stage direction sometimes are from the dialogue itself. I also love new plays, I think my first love is really collaborating to create performance and devising with collaborators. So that's also a process of, if not text analysis, text structuring and really getting into how text flows to create a story and to create characters.
How do you think an audience analyzes when they're seeing a live performance? How is that different from looking at the text of a play?
Yeah, super different, or at least I hope it's different. because and when I go to the theater, that's what I'm looking for, is I want a live experience. And so I want to be impacted by emotion, and I want to be sort of taken on a ride or a journey, or shown something that is something that I can explore. So whether it's primarily visual or movement based, or ideally a combination of words and images and sounds, I want sort of all of the senses to be involved when I go to see a production. And I hope to bring that to folks that come to see a production I'm involved in, is that all of the senses are involved in a way that's only possible when you're there live. And so really, I hope they're not thinking too much about the words and the text and more about the overall experience.
Well, thank you, Rebecca. Can you summarize for us where we can see Port Stories and when?
Yes, Port Stories will open June 8th. It runs weekends in June, Saturdays and Sundays, Saturdays at 1 and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 5 p.m. in the town of Port Costa, and will begin at the Port Costa School. That's at the corner of Canyon Lake Drive and Reservoir Street in Port Costa. And you can find out more on our website at idiotstring.org.
Thank you so much for joining me, Rebecca.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun to talk with you.